जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वित चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय द्वित चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय द्वित चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद We're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 1, Text Number 84. Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito
Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda
Godadaya Puspavanta Chitra Sandha Tamanuda
Godadaya Puspavanta Chitra Sandha Tamanuda
Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodita
Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodita
Godadaya Puspavanta Chitra Sandha Tamanuda Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodita
Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodita
Godadaya Puspavanta Chitra Sandha Tamanuda
Godadaya Puspavanta Chitra Sandha Tamanuda
Vande
Vande
I offer respectful obeisances Sri
Krishna Chaitanya
To Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda And to Lord Nityananda Sahaudito Simultaneously arisen Godadaya On the eastern horizon of Goda Puspavanto, the sun and moon together. Chitra, wonderful. Shando, bestowing benediction. Tamanudo, dissipating darkness. Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Goda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. Text 85-86 Vraja Jevihare Purva Krishna Balarama Koti Surya Chandra Jini Dana Nityadama Sedui Jagatir Haya Shadaya Goda Deshe Purvishaila Kari Laudaya Sri Krishna and Balaram, the personality of Godhead, who formerly appeared in Vrindavan and were millions of times more effulgent than the sun and the moon, have arisen over the eastern horizon of Godadesh, West Bengal, being compassionate for the fallen state of the world. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Ore Prabhu Nityananda Jahar Prakashe Sarva Jagate Ananda The appearance of Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Prabhu Nityananda has surcharged the world with happiness. Surya Chandra Hore Aiche Shabe Andakar Vastu prakashi akore dharmira prachar Eimate duibai jivire agyana Tamanase kori kaila tattva vastudana As the sun and moon drive away darkness by their appearance and reveal the nature of everything, these two brothers dissipate the darkness of the living beings, ignorance, and enlighten them with knowledge of the Absolute Truth. Agyanatam ernama kaiya kaitava dharmartha kama moksha vancha disava. The darkness of ignorance is called kaitava, the way of cheating, which begins with religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. And then we get a quote from Bhagavan. Bhagavatam dharma projitu kaitavo traparamo nirmatsaranam satam vidyam vastavam atravastu sivanam tapantraya mudanam srimad bhagavate mahamune krite kim vaparere swasa jyori diavarujate takriti visusu visitatksanat. Which means, the great scripture Srimad Bhagavatam, compiled by Mahamuni Vyasadeva from four original verses, describes the most elevated and kind-hearted devotees and completely rejects the cheating ways of materially motivated religiosity. It propounds the highest principle of eternal religion, which can factually mitigate the threefold miseries of a living being and award the highest benediction of full prosperity and knowledge. Those willing to hear the message of this scripture in a submissive attitude of service can at once capture the Supreme Lord in their hearts. Therefore, there is no need for any scripture other than, Srimad Bhagavatam. This is what you get, you know. You get the flowers and then you can't handle them. Anyone wants some flowers? Brother, come here. So this is a very nice verse, which actually is the second verse of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Chaitanya Charitamrita is written in such a way that the first 14 verses give a code of the Adi Lila. So the first part of the book is called Adi Lila, and then the first 14 verses give an explanation of what is to come. They give the major themes. So here, and then later on in the Adi Lila, these 14 verses are each elaborated upon and explained. So here we find an explanation of the second verse of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this... Oh, thank you very much. So this text is also found in the beginning as text number 2. And it is very interesting because here we find a description of how Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are rising together like the sun and the moon. Now here we can see what the sun can do. Early in the morning, oftentimes here in Radhadesh, there is the fog that is caught between the hills, and you see like a cloud hanging between the hills, and then gradually the sun dissolves all that. So in the same way, Lord Chaitanya dissolves the cloud of sinful life. In Bhagavatam it said, Kichit kevalaya bhaktya Kichit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva Agam Dumbanti Karsneya Niharam Iva Bhaskara. The last two lines I remember, and those I need. Agam Dumbanti Karsneya. It says all the sinful reactions will be removed, just like fog is removed by the sun. Niharam Iva Bhaskara. Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktya Vasudeva Parayana. That's it. So, we have been living for a long time in the fog. We didn't know. We had no idea what we were doing. We didn't know what was happening in our life. We were not always, at least most of us, were not born vegetarians. Right? And we never thought anything of it. And so many things we never thought anything of. And in that way, we were in the fog of sinful life, or in the deepest, darkest ignorance. Then, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes as the sun and gives transcendental knowledge, enlightens the entire world, and drives away this fog. Now, yesterday I also described this point a little bit, is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that this fog of ignorance covers mankind and or all the living beings, and nobody has any idea about the goal of life. And then by we get the mercy of the Lord and we begin to understand what the goal of life is, then the fog begins to disappear, we get a sunny sky, but there are still some clouds. These clouds are the anattas, or the impurities within our heart, and every once in a while the clouds are in front of the sun, or in some cases the whole sky is clouded, and although the sun shines you can't really get much of a view of it. But the light shines through the clouds, like, so there is light, it's not darkness. There is Krishna consciousness, but it is not really very profound or very deep or very much practiced. Then as we're practicing it more, then gradually the sky clears up and it becomes blue. And it means that we begin to change our life according to the desire of Krishna. And then for a while, everything is bright and sunny for a few days, and we are following so nicely everything, and then suddenly come another bank of clouds, and the sky gets covered a little bit, and our Krishna consciousness disappears a little bit into the background, and a few principles go out of the window, and so on, and like the clouds pack up a little thicker, it may even rain a little bit sometimes. How to do a few slips on the path, Durgame Patimendasya Skalapal Katirmuhu, can also happen. The dark moments in one's spiritual life. Yes. It is not easy to maintain purity throughout life. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj said, Komurama Charit Pragyo, one should start at early age. Already from 5 years old, one should start seriously practicing Krishna consciousness. Then later on we can maintain it. Yes. In India there's that example of the small Gujarati girl who was asked by her father to if she could lift a calf. She said, yes, I can do. He said, well, show. So she put her head under the calf and she lifted the calf on her shoulder like that. Then he said, now can you carry it up the stairs? She said, yes, yes, I can do. And she did, right? And he said, now do it every day. So 1 year later, she was carrying a bull up the stairs. Little girl. Yes. So, abhyasa yogi yuktena cetasana nyagamina paramam purusam divyam yati parchana sintaya. It is a matter of steady practice in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, the acharyas have made a point of that. Sankhya purvaka nama gana natibi. That we should chant a fixed number of rounds every day. Not just one day 64 and another day 2 rounds or 4 and then again 32 and then, today I'm so tired, today I won't chant, but tomorrow I'll chant double. That won't help to control the mind. Chanchalam hi mana Krishna. The mind is very restless. So Sankhya Purvaka Namagani Natevi. If we really want a blue spotless sky, if we want to systematically dissolve even the tiniest cloud in that sky so that we can see Krishna always. Krishna Surya Sam. Krishna is like the sun. Maya Hoya Andhakar. And Maya is like the darkness. So this is the description of Krishna in the metaphor of the sun. And Lord Nityananda? Lord Nityananda is compared to the moon. In India, the moon is much more significant than here. First of all, in Mayapur, the moon is much bigger than here. Somehow or other, in that part of the world, the moon is twice as big as here. Right? And the moon also is bright, especially full moon, of course. In India, in the day, the sun is scorching. Like yesterday would have been in India a nice cool day. Everyone would have said, oh, it's so nice and cool today. Right? So in India, the sun is scorching. Right. So The sun is very intense. But the moon is bright and cooling. So people have a great liking for the moon. It is like cooling and peaceful and kind of calming things down. Where the day is full of passion, full of activity, and it just builds up, more and more starts happening, just like today, it's going to happen again. I was thinking that this morning, when it was still early and the birds were chirping, I was thinking, oh, glories to the early mornings, where things are quiet and peaceful. I wish those birds weren't making so much noise. But the peaceful time of the morning is not just a matter of noise. It is a matter of, it is a time for contemplation. It is a time before all the entanglement of the day has started. It is the time between us and Krishna. Right? Nothing else. There's nothing in between us in the morning. Nothing. Well, okay, except maybe the body, right? And that means the gross and the subtle body. That means, yes, the body and the mind. These two may be between us and Krishna. False ego, I should also add. Yeah. Yes, the false ego is like a thick wall. There was, many years ago, a boy in London who once wrote a poem called Thick as a Brick. Right? Thick as a Brick. He was 10 years old, and somehow or other the poem got published in some school journal, and then it made it to a newspaper, and finally a famous musician took it and made an album of it also, you know, and the boy got on TV. I still remember it because it was good. Everyone recognized, boy, he's really, really hit the nail on the head. Thick as a brick. Right? Yes. People are thick as a brick. Right. So what is it? Well, in Dutch, it's not so difficult for us to understand because we have that saying, een blok beton voor zijn kop. So for us, it wasn't so hard to figure out what thick as a brick meant, right? Yes, that is the false ego, that thick brick like that. So there is a big block of concrete between us and Krishna. It's a wall. There are many famous walls in the world. There was one in China, Great Wall of China. The Berlin Wall, now it's broken to pieces, and some people have parts in their room, you know, as a memorial of the Berlin Wall. And, of course, there was a wall between England and Scotland, right? Those guys did it too. So like that, the world has known its walls, without a doubt. But the thickest wall, and the biggest wall, and the greatest wall is the wall of false ego. It is the wall that extends everywhere and is between us and Krishna. It is stated that Harinam Sankirtan works like a sledgehammer. Now, it is not that we should then start speculating and think, well, the Sankirtan movement makes sound vibration, so I'm thinking that the sound vibration is slowly breaking the wall of the false ego. It is not the sound vibration. It is not the power of that vibration. It is the Lord Himself who personally takes off whole chunks of the wall of false ego or knocks holes in it so that we get a little glimpse of the absolute truth. So even while we're chanting, right, and there is no disturbance at all early in the morning, and it's just us and Krishna, in our wall, in our body, in our mind, right, then we can peacefully chant the holy name. Right. Yes, at that time, naturally, it is a little difficult, right? We experienced chanters by now have a few little holes in the wall, and there are a few points where Krishna knocked off a little bit, and we can sort of stretch, we can look over, but after a while, get pain in your back, and you have to sit back down. You can't get much of a glimpse. And through a hole, you never see Krishna completely. You just see a little bit, right? Something bluish, blackish. I reckon it's Krishna. Hare Krishna, 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 keep on chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare. So, gradually, the name changes. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that in the beginning in spiritual life, we get Nam, we get the holy name. He said, but gradually that holy name begins to take form. We begin to appreciate that the name is Krishna. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Siddha Nitya Mukto Abhinantam Nama Namina. That the holy name is Krishna. And gradually we begin to appreciate it, and therefore it is said in the Adi Purana, we associate with Krishna. But not just Krishna. It is explained, we can give a little explanation of the Mahamantra next. There are many explanations given. Krishna means the all-attractive, or Krish means dark, and Na means not, that which destroys darkness. Ramanta yogino nante satchananda chidatmani iti brahma padena so param brahma vidiyate. That it means transcendental pleasure. It means transcendental enjoyment. And hara means to take away, to steal away. So hara speaks about devotional service that steals away Krishna, the all-attractive, and then the result is Rama. That is one explanation given. But it goes a little further. Brajendra Nandan ye satchisu taholo se tatat Brajendra Nandan. Krishna, he is Satchisuta, the son of Mother Sachi. So he is Lord Chaitanya. And Balaram Halanitai. So Ram also means Nichananda. So Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nichananda are present within the holy name. This is the particular age of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nichananda. It is nice to know that Mother Sachi was always worshipping her deities of Krishna and Balaram. Right? I mean, I like it that she had deities of Krishna and Balaram. Not just because I like Krishna and Balaram myself, but it is nice that she was worshipping Krishna and Balaram. And one day, she had a dream. And in the dream, Lord Chaitanya and Nichananda, she didn't know they were the Lord, Gornitai, had a fight. They had a fight with Krishna and Balaram over the offering. And the offering had been made, a big tray was there in front of the deities of Krishna and Balaram, and then Gornitai went up to them and said, get out of here, you guys. It's ours. This is our age, and this is for us, the offerings. You were in a previous era, and your time is over. Go home. Go back to Vrindavan. It is our time now. Yeah? So she dreamt all this, and she was like totally shocked. What is my Nimai, you know, her son, what is he doing? Nitai. Anyway, you know how it is with dreams. When you wake up, you can still sort of remember something, but then after a while, what did I dream last night? So she couldn't remember what she dreamt. Then, later that day, both Lord Chaitanya and both Lord Nichananda happened to come to her house for lunch. So she had them both, and she was serving out lunch. And as she was putting the plates in front of them, suddenly the memory of the dream came back. And as the memory of the dream came back, she realized that there was no difference between Gornitai and Krishna Balaram. And at that moment, she fainted. She fainted, right? She couldn't, believe it. When she came to her senses, it was, what happened? She couldn't remember anything, totally shocked. But then she saw that her boys were there and hungry, let me carry on and, you know, somehow or other, serve out the lunch. And like that, she took care of them. So, there is no doubt that when we chant the holy name of the Lord, that Lord Nichananda and Lord Chaitanya are there. And it is particularly because of the mercy of Lord Nityananda that the thick Kali Yuga false egos that we have are breaking down. Otherwise, you know, would be a long time sitting there behind our wall with our mind and our body chanting Hare Krishna and saying, I don't feel anything. I don't see nothing. I don't experience Krishna at all. Nothing. It's not happening. Yes, we could spend a long time. But by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, everything is possible. Lord Nityananda is most merciful. We depend on him. The moon, it says, Nitai Pada Kamalam Kuti Chandra Shushital. He is more cooling than millions of moons. He is cooling down the raging fire in our heart. We sing it every morning, Sansara Dava Nadalila Loka. With great fun every morning we are talking, we're singing something like, there is a raging forest fire in my heart. Right? It's burning like anything. And with great joy we're singing it again. We have funny songs actually, you know. Before prasadam, with a happy face, the devotees are all sari ra vijaya. The senses are a network of death. We are very happily singing that every day. It's our favorite song. So sometimes you wonder, it's a bit, if we really knew what we were singing. Does anybody know the translation, you're thinking? Anyway, so we're singing how our heart is blazing in fire and how we are just burning up. Narottam Das Thakur explains it a little more. He says, Dipa Nisahiya Jwala, day and night our heart is burning. Burning with lusty desires, burning with anger, burning with greed, burning with envy, smoky with madness, you know, covered with the thick ashes of illusion, right, yes. All that burning in the heart. Poison is in there, right? All kinds of burning poison. The type that came out of the mouth of Kaliya that burst out in flames, or of that serpent that actually came to bite Maharaj Pariksit. It said that he didn't even, as he was biting, right? It wasn't that the poison was injected to the fangs. No, it just was so poisonous and vicious that it just, Maharaj Pariksit went up in flames. He burned. Right? So we also were burning in the poison in our heart. Yes. So, you know, by now I have a lot of stuff in that heart. A wall, I have poison in there, I have clouds on the sky, and well, okay, you know. So, it gets pretty rough, right? Yes, it's not easy. From day one, practically, from the beginning of this movement, devotees have been struggling. There is a nice story, it is a description of one of Prabhupada's senior disciples of the early days who, you know, sometimes found it a little difficult. And he became a big shot, he became a big leader, and at one point he was in charge for East India. And he was running Sankirtan parties and he was a preacher there. But as time had it, as fate had it, it got a little too much for him. And at one point he was deviating a little bit from the regulative principles, and he smoked a certain substance, you know. And for a little while he was getting into that, smoking that substance. So the local temple leaders got very upset and they rang up Prabhupada, and they didn't get him on the line but the secretary. So they told the secretary he is smoking that substance. And then the that was told to Prabhupada. A few devotees were there. Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who was traveling with Prabhupada at that time, was there. And when Prabhupada heard him, Prabhupada sent a message back and said, Tell him that if he doesn't stop, that I will reject him. So whoever was there was shocked that Prabhupada could say such a thing, such a heavy thing. Reject him, right? Reject a disciple. I mean, so Tamal Krishnamurti also was quite shocked when he heard it. So he asked Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, would you really do that? Would you really reject him? And Prabhupada said, of course not. I'm just saying that. He said, Lord Nityananda is so merciful. He said, no. He never rejects anybody. So, this is very important. What a relief that Lord Nityananda is there, right? I mean, to deal with all our clouds and even the rain showers and all the dark moments and all the slips between the cup and the lips and all the other difficulties that we face, there is Lord Nityananda. He smiles upon us. It is because of the smile of Lord Nityananda that we feel a little bit inspiration in Krishna consciousness. We think that it was us, you know. We think, well, you know, I'm getting a higher taste now, you know. Like I am a little Krishna conscious. I'm getting a little bit more advanced, you know. I felt inspiration, right? Yes, we did. Because Lord Nityananda is smiling upon us. That is the smile of Lord Nityananda. It was actually Lila Sukha who set the stage for this class, because he was in the car and he was telling me that when he looks to the deities, then sometimes he sees this, that Lord Nityananda is smiling at him. Right? But Lord Chaitanya still looked quite absorbed in his ecstasy. He said, you don't mind that I'm sharing this with you. We are a family here, you know. With your brothers and sisters, you should share everything. Like in the early days in this movement, there was no such thing as privacy. Prabhupada used to write a letter, and there was no private letter, right? I mean, the devotee that got the letter, it came in the mail, so everybody knew there is a letter from Prabhupada. Okay, he got the letter, got the chance to open it and glance at it, and the other devotees were already like, let us see what it says. And then it was Xeroxed, right? Xeroxed and posted all over the wall. And it didn't matter if it was a personal letter or a public letter. It didn't matter. There was no such thing that a letter of Prabhupada was a private letter. It was public. So, on the strength of that, I took the liberty of sharing your private remarks. But it is true. It is very nice. It is very much like that. Lord Nityananda is glancing upon us. Why is he doing so? He is the servant of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya has ordered him. He has ordered him. So Lord Nityananda, being the perfect servant of Lord Chaitanya, is carrying this order on his head like a jewel. It is said that the order of the spiritual master must be carried like a jewel. It is not just from, well, here's the order, I guess, now I have to do it, you know, because now I got a spiritual master. And yeah, when you got one, you lose your independence. Now I have to surrender to this order. And if I don't follow it, I'll get severe reactions, so I better follow it. This is the lower level of association with the spiritual master. It is the relationship based on fear. Fear of reactions, fear of what happens when I'm not a devotee. So it means that our whole spiritual life, that the motivation in our spiritual life is actually fear. We are afraid of the material energy, that we get smashed again. We've had enough of the boxing gloves of Maya. No more. She's tough. Another punch on the nose. No, please, no. All right, I'll be a Hare Krishna. Yes, I'm convinced now. I'm really into this philosophy. Yes, I think it's great. Bang. Oh, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Right? And we serve a spiritual master out of fear. But not Lord Nityananda.
Lord Nityananda carries the order of the spiritual master like a jewel on his head, and he cherishes it with great love. He is considering this is the gift of the Lord upon me. He is kindly bestowing his mercy upon me. He put his faith in me. Now I will live up to this. The spiritual master, when he gives an order to the disciple, it is not just that the disciple has to have faith in the spiritual master. The spiritual master places his faith in the disciple and gives him this order. Of course, he knows also, maybe he will not follow it. But he can also see that he could follow it. And I want him to follow it. And I know he can do it. And I know it's difficult for him. But I know he can grow, and I know that if he does, right, that he will become glorious. Yes. So, the spiritual master desires to trust the disciple, entrust the disciple with responsibility, knowing that this responsibility will lift him, and carrying that burden of responsibility in Krishna consciousness will make him strong. Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gandhinathivi, 16 rounds, and how many, and what are the regulative principle? We carry that. And now preach Krishna consciousness, we carry that, or whatever the order may be. So, Lord Nityananda, with great love, is carrying the order of Lord Chaitanya, and therefore, always, in the mood of serving Lord Chaitanya, he is spreading Krishna consciousness everywhere. Lord Nityananda is described to be none other than Anantasesh. Anantasesh is the form of the serpent, the many-hooded serpent form, who becomes the bed of the Lord. And it is also said that in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, that the mouth of Ananta is like the jewel case, where the jewel of the glorification of Krishna is being kept. So, it is said that if you want to have the power to glorify Krishna, then you have to take shelter of Lord Nityananda. Only then can one glorify Krishna. And only when we can glorify Krishna, can we become free from material desire, can all the cloud-like anartas disappear, just like melt away, and can the wall of false ego gradually be smashed until our vision is clear and we see Krishna always and everywhere. Stavara jangama dekena dekitaramurti sarvatahaya nija istadevi spurti. We do not longer see the non-moving and moving manifestations in this world. We see behind them always, everywhere, Krishna, the Supreme Lord. And we see, sometimes we see him direct in his transcendental form. So all these things may be possible. And we find descriptions of great devotees like Srinivas Acharya, who once, while walking, became overwhelmed in his meditation on Krishna, and he saw Krishna and the gopis engaged in playing holi, throwing colors, and also squirting colors. And when he was, while this was happening, he was standing frozen. He couldn't move. He was stunned. And he saw this whole pastime in front of him. And when he came to his senses, then he saw that his cloth was all covered in colors. What did he do at that time? He did not wear the cloth for 1 week and didn't wash himself. You know, and just walk around carefully and people say, "Hey, what happened to you?" That the paint can fell on you? No, I just saw Radha and Krishna play holy. No, he didn't do that. He quickly
He felt embarrassed, I think, you know,
and he quickly went home to wash, to change, to hide it.
So, sometimes the great devotees of the Lord can perceive the pastimes of the Supreme Lord while they are here within the material world. These are the stages of devotional service where the wall of false ego is really smashed, completely smashed. That is all very, very advanced. And that is for us now not the immediate meditation, but that is something that we remember. It is also described that there was a sannyasi, he was still young, and he had some visions. So he had some visions, he sometimes had a vision of Krishna. And then, so he started to speak in his lectures more about this topic, about the inner aspect of Krishna consciousness and making the inner connection with Krishna and the inner perception of Krishna and seeing Krishna face to face, and that became like a main theme in his discussions, and it was brought to Prabhupada. And I recently read a diary of Satsarupa Maharaj called Diary in the 70s, which he started when he became a sannyasi, and sometimes he was Prabhupada's secretary, sometimes he was out preaching. So it is interesting. And in there, there is the story about the report came to Prabhupada about this sannyasi, and okay, the sannyasi was brought to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada basically he said that these visions, right, they are not so important. And the sannyasi said, but Prabhupada, before I was a devotee, I had a vision of a great, great wise sage. And when I came to ISKCON, I recognized that it was you. So, I mean, my whole spiritual life actually started because of this vision. That's really what did it, Prabhupada. That's what made me a devotee. Right? So, I mean, how can it not be important? Prabhupada said, don't worry about it. He said, just don't worry about it. He said, I never worried about such things. I only worried about one thing, the order of my spiritual master. He said, because that will make us the most glorious. The most glorious. Whether we have this experience or that experience, all right, we may or we may not have. But just as Daruka, the servant, the chariot driver of the Lord, was not interested in the ecstatic symptoms, he wanted the service of the Lord. He got so ecstatic from fanning the Lord that his hand froze and that he couldn't fan. He said, what is the point of this? Now I can't fan anymore, right? Yes. So if we become so ecstatic of our devotional service, right, that we, now I'm seeing Krishna, and we stop our service, then what is the point? Let us just meditate on executing the order of our spiritual master. This is the spirit of Lord Nityananda. It is so interesting, that relationship between Gaur Nitai, the sun and the moon. There is also that example of Prabhupada who is being glorified by some disciples. And Prabhupada said, I thank you very, very much for your appreciation and your glorification. He said, but actually, if you see any good qualities in me, then you should know that this is just a reflection. He said, just as the sun and the moon, the light of the sun is reflected in the moon. In the same way, when you see some good qualities in me, then know it to be the reflection of the good qualities of my spiritual master. Because I am just acting upon his order. It is all his glory. So, as Prabhupada stated that, in that way, Lord Nityananda, that is his mood. Lord Nityananda is totally the servant. He is the servitor of Lord Chaitanya. Although Lord Nityananda is the Supreme Lord, he is totally engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord. So this is the secret. Following Lord Nityananda means that we get in the mood of the servant. And if we do so, then the blessings of Lord Nityananda will fully manifest, and because he's very, very kind, he very quickly gives a lot of result. Even a little bit of service rendered, immediately so much benediction. The benediction is already before we've done anything. And then every time so much benediction is given for so little service, and therefore through that mercy we become actually, by taking his mood, we become actually servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is how we can actually be saved from material life and from cheating religion. That point I didn't touch, so I'll just shortly mention that and then I'll end. Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, they deliver us from cheating religion. Cheating religion is here described as dharma artha kama moksha, as religious principles for getting some benefit. Yes. We're thinking, well, if I pray regularly, my life will get better. I do some punya, I'll go to holy place, I'll give big donation, fat one, and then I'll become rich. Yes, then my whole life will become so nice. Yes, fruitive mentality. And that is cheating. Right? That is cheating. Or thinking that we can also become part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and that ultimately not only false ego is false, but all ego is false, and that we can become one with the Lord. Whew, that is the greatest offense. Anyhow, the cheating religion is all being destroyed by Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is the great teacher of Krishna consciousness. And the entire, we see that here, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is using a verse, the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, as the proof of the mission of Lord Chaitanya. And if we study the Chaitanya Charitamrita, then we can see that by far the proof in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is based on Srimad Bhagavatam. That is because Lord Chaitanya is simply coming as Bhakta Rupa, simply coming to teach Srimad Bhagavatam. Simply, so his entire reasoning is based on Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam is therefore revealing the teachings of not only Lord Krishna, but also of Srimad Bhagavatam. And we can see, if we follow, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is, besides full of pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, also full of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and it also establishes the identity of Lord Chaitanya, the mission of Lord Chaitanya, and all that is scientifically established on the basis of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, it is, if we learn the science of Krishna consciousness from Srimad Bhagavatam, then, and we follow the service mood of Lord Nityananda, and if we take up the steady practices, the responsibility in devotional service, then we are certainly on the path back to Godhead. And we very rapidly will make advancement. Because then, although the clouds are still covering the sky and we cannot fully see the form of Krishna, we have the name of Krishna. And it is said, then when you have the name in that stage, then our chanting is not yet pure. It is only Nam Abhas. But if we chant Nam Abhas, the dim reflection of the name, on the strength of Bhagavatam and on following in the footsteps of Lord Nityananda, then we can speak of sradhanavas, or the dim reflection of the holy name chanted with great faith. And when we chant with great faith, then very quickly we will advance, it said. But if we chant with all kinds of attachments to getting material benefits from our chanting, or if we chant with the desire to for liberation from material suffering and all that, then it can take a long, long time before we will advance, but then it will be slow. But chanting with great faith is the process. With this, I will stop. I thank you very much for your attention. And if there are any questions, I'll try to answer. Yeah. Yes.
We can regress while chanting, or?
Okay, let me just repeat your point. Madhani Kunjavasini makes the point that the devotees have just heard that by inattentive chanting, one can create new anarthas within the heart. So, destroy or affect our spiritual advancement, our chanting, like something like that. There's a description in the Harinam Chintamani, and it gives a description of different kinds of chanting. There, it said that if inattentive chanting or neglectful chanting is called sankheta, sankheta namabhas. And it says this sankheta namabhas, one makes advancement, but very, very slow. Very, very slow. New anarthas can come. And they come not directly from the inattentive chanting, but the inattentive chanting leads to carelessness, and then that carelessness manifests itself in making other offenses, such as blaspheming devotees, such as not being very respectful to the scriptures, not very serious about it, and then we start making all the other offenses against the holy name, and in this way the anarthas pack up again in our heart. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur does say that there is advancement being made even while chanting neglectfully, but very slow, and it may take a long time. And it doesn't stay like that it just stays with inattentive chanting. Inattentive chanting is called sometimes the root cause of all offenses. We'll become careless in all. We start making offenses against the holy name. We become careless in the temple. You know, we don't follow all the rules anymore. And say, well, you know, you can't be fanatic, right? You can't be, you know, like anyway. You gotta be practical. And so many arguments can be given to justify careless behavior. It's not that it's fanatic to strictly follow the prescribed rules that are given in the 64 principles of Vaishnava behavior, which are outlined both in the Nectar of Devotion and in Chaitanya Charitamrita in the teachings to Rupa and Sanatana. Now, you know, like sometimes you go in and out of the temple and you just walked out and think, why would I bow down again? You know, no. Every time you go through that invisible wall, down, even 10 times, down again, put that nose on the ground, down. Yeah. One time not going down immediately, you know, woof, a big mushroom of false ego just comes right up in your brain, like sitting there, you know, in a little every time we neglect, there's like an old mushroom park there. So we have to be very careful. Any other question?
Yes. You mentioned about the Prabhupada, that he said he, of course, he didn't reject it.
Yes.
But is there any such a case that actually
Prabhupada did reject a disciple? No, not that I know of. Does anybody know?
But any other historical? You find some history, but do they really?
Well, you know, it gets too esoteric. I don't know the hearts of the Vaishnavas that lived hundreds of years ago, and we only have a few notes about them, you know. I mean, we're even like debating their birth dates, right? I mean, Rembert, you know, who's expert at these things, knows the academic perceptions, you know, and if you speak about the six Goswamis, boy, is there a debate about their birth date. And even in Prabhupada's purport, you know, at the Chaitanya Charitamrita, these dates of their birth are like a kind of faith. So when we are kind of not sure about dates, I mean, I don't want to enter into their inner core of their heart and second guess exactly if. It's not that I know that the six Goswamis rejected, but some, yes, it has happened that disciples have been rejected. But Prabhupada could not do that, he said. Prabhupada, of course, also, I think there was something more to that discussion. Tamal Krishna Maharaj came back and then said, but Prabhupada, if you don't reject anybody, then you'll have to take the reactions of all these sinful activities and you'll have to suffer. And I can't remember verbatim what Prabhupada said now. That's why I left that part out. But it was something again in the mood of I am prepared to go to hell for my, you know, for any conditioned soul, which is a statement that Prabhupada made on another occasion. And I am prepared to go to hell to deliver any condition. So that was Prabhupada's mood, right? So not rejecting a sinful disciple doesn't mean that the spiritual master doesn't take the reactions. So it is a very serious thing. But Prabhupada was prepared to do. Of course, Krishna, when he sees that the devotee, the pure devotee, is prepared to go to hell to save someone, then Krishna saves the pure devotee. But he doesn't have to. But he's very soft-hearted, of course. We trust he saves. Puratatva.
Yes. Can you give me please a blessing?
Yes.
And I promise that I will bless you to go to hell.
Yeah, there is some saying like that. But still, Prabhupada, I know that devotee. You also know him. Because he was not so far from here in the history at one point. And he was also. He came back already after some time in Prabhupada's presence, and he was again involved in Prabhupada's presence. One person that also really upset Prabhupada was Nitai. Nitai was one of Prabhupada's personal secretaries, and he was one of the Sanskrit editors, one of the early ones, assisting Pradyumna. Pradyumna was the main, and then Nitai was also there. And Nitai became proud, and Nitai started to go to the Babaji's regularly classes, and Prabhupada didn't like it, and Nitai started to preach some of that philosophy, and Prabhupada was very upset, told him that don't go there. And Nitai said, well, there's no quality in the classes here in our temples, and I don't hear anything to satisfy me, so that's why I'm going there. And Prabhupada said, then you give the classes, but you stop going there. But Nitai still went, and then then Prabhupada got very upset about Nitai. Nitai left, and Prabhupada called him a black snake. He said, Nitai has become a snake. Yeah. So Since then he left and studied in the university, and has a website now full of translations of literatures. Although Prabhupada called him a black snake, I don't think or a snake. I think it was just snake. I think black snake was for someone else. that he also said one time. This was snake. He said snake. It becomes snake. I think a poisonous snake, he actually said. A poisonous snake, he said. Yes. Poisonous snake. But he did not actually reject him. In the same way, in the early days, Kirtananda, after taking sannyas, Prabhupada told him to go to England and to meet this lady from the Gaudiya Math. He didn't do it. He instead went to America, appeared there in a karmi suit, and he had cut off his sika, and he started preaching to the devotees that they should all cut their sikas, and that they should just go around in Western clothing, because this was the West, etc. And all the devotees were very confused, because they didn't have cum in those days, so they couldn't check it. It took a long time before. And he said Prabhupada had told this. So he came with a message. He was a sannyas. He came with a message that this was it now. This was the new will of Prabhupada. And finally, someone managed to get connection over the phone or a telegram, somewhere or other. It came out that this was all nonsense. And a message had come from Prabhupada that when they, earlier on, one day, they had picked up Kirtananda and put him in a mental asylum when he was walking in devotee robes, and they had taken him out, and Prabhupada said, we should have left him there. At that time. So I don't know if we can't say that Prabhupada really meant that. Obviously, he didn't really mean that. So Prabhupada sometimes said these things, you know, and then someone may say, well, you know, this is the proof Kirtananda should be for the rest of his life. We have such a rigid way of taking the words, of interpreting the words of Prabhupada. Not like that. It's just like Prabhupada later on showed so much kindness. What happened then is when Kirtananda was there in his suit preaching to the devotees, and when they got the news from Prabhupada, the devotees became so upset. They told him, get out. Get out. Brahmananda was the first. Get out. So, you know, like when Brahmananda says, get out, you go. That's convincing. So they got out. And then all the devotees, they spit on him. They spit on him. You know, from betraying Prabhupada. Right? Everyone spit on him. So it was very dramatic. And then he Hayagriva went with him. And then they started this farm, which later became Vrindavan. And 2 years later only did it come back to ISKCON. And then 2 years later, Prabhupada went there, and then everything was forgotten. And so we see Prabhupada did not reject. He did not reject. No. How could he? Lord Nityananda. There's no doubt that Prabhupada was an intimate servant of Lord Nityananda, and that he never forgot Lord Nityananda. So how could he forget the mood of Lord Nityananda? When you are the servant, how can you forget the mood of the master? Servant means you act in the mood of the master. A servant cannot act contradictory to the mood of the master. So how could Prabhupada reject when he's the servant of Lord Nityananda? All right, I thank you very, very much. Hope you'll have another nice day in the hot sun, and then later you can go for the cooling moon and all along take shelter of the holy man. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai.
Jai.
Maybe we can read this course from the 3 weeks we had on Saturday.
Take the mic.